Ephesians 6 and 10.
While we get going there, I just want to encourage everyone that we have helps here. We have tracks. We're giving out $1 million to whoever wants to come up here and get it. Boy, that'll make the news. Boy, it'll be packed in here. We ought to do that, Miss Dora. Get on the radio. We giving $1 million. Y'all come on to the house of the Lord where they giving $1 million at. But we have these tracks, all types of helps free of charge.
Amen.
We have a CD ministry all around town. We have some businesses that allow us to give our word of God there. It's free of charge. We're online.
Amen. Amen.
James Dansby.
Yes.
Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
Discussing the truth.
Yes, Lord.
And all of those are free online on YouTube and sermonaudio.com /James Dansby. But we're here right now, and this is where the Holy Spirit teaches.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. So let's get started. Ephesians 6.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 6 and 10.
6 and 10. Amen.
And it reads, mm-hmm. Ephesians 6 and 10.
Yes, yes, Lord.
17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes, Lord.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, dear Lord. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this time, dear Lord. We thank you for your presence of being here. Now convict, convince, dear Lord. Move people in your direction of doing your will, dear Lord. Because today is the day of salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We don't have a lot of scriptures today. Like my brother Milt say, we're going to chew on a lot of this. So we're just going to have some nuggets right here. But we're starting here at Ephesians 6 and 10. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils. Say wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. The methods. The schemes, the plans of the devil. Booby traps. And that brings us to our title today. Satan is real.
Satan is real.
Satan is real. This is part two of a series called Satan is Real. Satan is real. And in our last meeting, we found out that just like God is real, Satan is real. And just like there's a Holy Spirit, there's an unholy spirit that goes through this world seducing, seducing people to do his will. Right. And one of those things that Satan attacks in our last meeting is the mind.
That's right.
We worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship God with our minds, not our brains and our intellect, our minds. This is a spiritual place, our minds. And worship starts there. But Satan attacks the mind. He attacks the mind. And that's one wile of the devil. Amen. That's what he does. We can see that Satan is real through the reality of this world with the violence in the street, the broken homes. No one can say that Satan is not real. Satan is real. And one while that he has, he attacks us in our minds. But that was the first part of the message. We now moving into the second while of Satan.
Okay.
Because Satan is real.
Take your time.
Let's go to John 7.
John 7. Take your time.
John 7. Amen. Yes, he is. John 10:7.
John 10:7.
Okay. John 10:7. And we're looking at the second MO, the second while. He has a lot of different methods, but this is the second MO of Satan that we're going to cover. And it's in John 10:7-10.
Okay.
Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the second MO of Satan. He's a destroyer. Satan wants to destroy. He wants chaos, destruction, confusion. And we not only need to understand that he attacks our minds, but he is a destroyer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He wants to tear things up in our lives, in our communities, in our fellowship. He's a destroyer.
Amen.
Jesus calls him a thief.
And
even the world and Christians today, even Christians today excuse the reality and the activity of Satan. But here's a testimony from Jesus saying that Satan exists. Saying that he has an MO of robbing, stealing, killing, destroying. But the modern message says that we don't have to worry about Satan. Why? We do have victory over Satan.
Amen.
And he is defeated.
Yes, Lord.
But he still has power. Satan still has power. And the modern message will have us think otherwise. And it's not that we're glorifying Satan here today, but we have to teach and preach about Satan and his MO. And his MO today is destruction. We see here that Jesus is the life. Jesus is the door. Jesus is comparing himself to a sheep gate. And he's the door of that gate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The world and its destruction would like to think that there's some type of broad way unto salvation. But we see that the door is a person. It's a narrow way. And it's only as wide as Jesus. Anything outside the width of Jesus Christ, you're a thief. You're a robber. You're coming to destroy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus says here that he is the way. Jesus says here that you can come in and out of the pasture. We have freedom.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Now think of all these things that Jesus is saying about himself, comparing himself to a door. But there's an opposite truth, which the devil is.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said we can come in and out.
Yes, sir.
So if he says that about himself, then obviously the devil must be bondage. Amen. Am I right? He has to be. If there's an opposite truth of Jesus being life, then Satan must be death. If Jesus is light, then Satan must be darkness. He come to destroy. And we need to understand this about Satan. And I truly believe the more we learn about Satan, the more we'll actually learn about God.
Amen.
The more we learn about Satan, And his MO,
yes, Lord.
I believe, will learn more about God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's move on to John 8:44. We're talking about Satan. And his reality. He's real. And one of his MOs is destruction.
Yes, Lord. Uh-huh. That's
right. And that's what we're talking about here today.
Amen.
Let's look at John 8.
44.
John 8 and 44.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is Jesus speaking again. Listen to Jesus' words, his testimony.
Yes, okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You are of your father, the devil.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And the lust of your father you will do.
Lust.
You can tell about a person's nature about their behavior. Look at how they behave. It says a lot about their mentality, a lot about their nature. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
He was a murderer
from
the beginning. Destruction.
That's right.
We see another example of Jesus describing the nature of Satan, which is real, as a murderer.
Hell raiser, yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
God gives life.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Satan takes life. Let's think about that.
Yes, sir.
As we're going through these scriptures, think about the nature, the attributes of God.
Yes, sir.
Satan is the total opposite.
Amen.
And when we learn that about Satan, we learn more about who God truly is. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. If he doesn't abode in the truth, then he abodes in lies.
From the beginning. Amen. That's it. Praise God.
The first murder. The very first murder in human history was in the beginning. Cain killed his own brother. Satan was right there.
Absolutely.
From the beginning. A lie day one in the garden.
Yes, sir.
Satan was there. He's the father of it. He's the source of it. Any lie, any source of destruction comes from Satan. He is the father of it.
Amen. Amen.
Do we see that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
True. We're talking about Satan.
He hates the truth. He hates the truth.
And he is real.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to another one. 1 Peter.
All right. 1 Peter.
1 Peter and 5.
1 Peter.
We've seen the testimony of Satan, of Jesus about Satan.
Amen.
That he's real. And he's a destroyer.
Yes, he is.
And we as believers need to understand that.
Right.
I think the more that we understand that, the more we'll be able to understand God and get closer to him.
Amen.
Amen. We're at 1 Peter 5. Let's look at 8 and 9.
Okay, good, good.
8 and 9. This is the book, the letter of Peter. And he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the Republican Party. Does it say that?
Don't say that.
Your adversary, the white man, the local police.
No.
Your adversary, the devil.
That's the one.
That's where it comes from.
That's right.
Equal opportunity to destroy.
As a roaring lion walk about seeking whom he may devour. That's destruction. Do we see that?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that we have an enemy.
Enemy. We have an enemy.
And it's not the government.
No. All right. It's not the government.
It's the devil.
Yes, sir.
A spirit.
Spiritual warfare.
And we need to be educated that he is our one and only enemy. Anything opposite of God, it comes from him. He's the source. He's the father of it.
Father of it. Yes,
amen.
That's right.
Do we understand that?
Thank you, Lord.
But the modern message says that I'm saved. I can go stomp on the devil head. I can take my stuff from the devil. That's what they teach. Y'all been taught that. I've heard that. That's a lie. That's a lie. Look at this right here. Look at 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, listen, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world. It's not only happening to you. It's happening around the world. It's not only happening to you. It's happening around this world. Destruction of the brothers and sisters from our enemy, our adversary, the devil. Do we understand that? And we have to resist. We have to confront. We have to resist our enemy that's coming against us. Not waving our flag that we got the victory. We're in a battle. Do we understand that? Salvation. Salvation is free. But it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. This Christian walk, it's simple, but it ain't easy. But it ain't easy. As we study the Bible, we talk about sifting, threshing, dying, war, being on the wheel, getting molded. That's hard. That's not easy. And it comes from our adversary. Amen. The Christian life is simple, but it's not easy.
Amen.
And if anybody preaching it, or if anybody saying that, they ain't living it. Because it's difficult. It's a constant battle. Yeah, dying. That's a word. Dying. That's not easy. That's not easy. But the modern message has painted Christianity in such a way that you get a preacher man in your hand and it's easy sailing from here on out. And that's a lie. It's hard. It's a struggle.
Amen.
It's a struggle. Let me show you an example of that. Let's look at Luke 22.
Luke 22.
We see an example of what we've just covered about our adversary, Satan. We see that. See how this looks. Luke 22. Luke 22 and 31. Luke 22 and 31. We at dinner here. We having dinner. Jesus sitting around with his folks, his disciples. And he looks over at one of them in 31. And he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That's a problem, ain't it? We sitting here all laughing, having dinner. Kelvin. I spoke to Peanut and he gonna go upside your head when he see you. Ain't that something? Jesus is saying, hey, Simon, I'm letting you know. The devil desires. Desires. That's in his nature. He want to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy what? Faith. That thy faith not fail. Not you, Simon, but your faith. This is important. We need to see this now because we turn in the corner. That your faith not fail. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said, look at what he said. And he said unto the Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. I don't know why you're telling me that, Lord. I'm ready. I'm ready. Now, the same Lord that somehow know that Satan want him, he knows the outcome. Look at what he says. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that you knowest me. I'm telling you, man, you ain't going to be able to handle it.
That's what he's doing.
All right.
Now, the question is this.
Yes.
Somehow Jesus, maybe they had a meeting, the Bible don't say, but somehow Satan want to go upside my head.
Okay.
And he done already spoiled dinner by telling me that Satan wants to go upside my head. I say, hey, God, I'm ready. Then you tell me, no, you ain't. You ain't going to be able to handle it. You going to fail. Somehow he knows that. But why don't he stop it? Huh? Why don't he stop it? You know he's an adversary. You know he want to eat me up. Obviously, y'all done talk somewhere. I'm telling you I'm ready. You telling me I'm ain't. Why won't you stop it? The boogeyman after me. Why won't you stop it? You know why? Because of my faith. He wants us to grow. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. Satan is not some renegade running around doing what he wants to do. He is moving according to the will, to the sovereignty of God the Father. So yes, he is a destroyer. He is a destroyer. But destruction does not mean victory. It does not. Destruction does not mean victory. Once we understand who Satan is as a destroyer, we can understand God, get closer to God. He's a dog on a leash. He's a dog on a leash. And I want you to grow up, Peter. So I'm going
to
put him on you a little bit. He wants us to grow up. I mean, think about it. Jesus told Simon that Satan wants you, boy. And I pray for you that your faith not fail. And even though I know you're going to fail, when you do grow up, when you do get up, help your brothers. Why? Because you have a heart for it now.
Amen.
I know you was going to get drunk. I know you was going to have an accident. But build up your brothers now. You've been through it. You're saved now. Build your brothers up. You have a compassion now for them. Now, if I told you you was going to go out there and get your head tore off, you wouldn't have went out there. But I prayed for you. And when you get up after you fail, I know you're going to fail. After you fail. After you fail and I restore you. Now you have a compassion. You have a compassion.
Good.
Huh?
That's good. Come on now. That's good.
Praise God.
He's wise. But let's see that. Let's see that. But that's an example of it right there. Let's go to Hebrew 5. Hebrew 5. So we see that he's a destroyer, but he ain't some just loose vigilante. He's a dog on a leash that has his time. But in the meantime, God uses him in his wisdom, in his sovereignty, because he wants us to grow up. God ain't going to do it. I mean, he's not going to punish his children. He's not going to do that. Let's look at it. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son,
son of God.
Yet learned he obedience by the things which he what? Suffered. It's something about suffering. It's something about skinning your knee, bumping your head. It's something about it that you won't do that no more. Amen. And this Jesus, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus. He learned obedience through suffering. DJ, don't touch that. Don't touch it, son. See, I told. Now he might learn a little something. Though. He learned the obedience of not touching that through suffering.
Amen.
Amen. Let's scroll over to Hebrews 5. Let's look at 12, just a little further down. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age. Even those who have reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He wants us to grow up, to mature. And I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about in our understanding and our fellowship of God. And when we bump our head out there, when we're going through situations, that normally makes us run back to God now, doesn't it? Hopefully. But that's the way in which it works. Amen. Let's go to James 1. James 1. James 1, 2 and 4. James 1, 2 and 4. You got it? My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When you fall into trials, count it joy. Why? How is it that I can be joyous in my bad situation? How is it that I can be joyous and the devil is on my heels trying to destroy me? You say count it joy. Why? Because knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it's not about you. It's about I want your faith to grow. I want you to run to me. I want you to trust me. In this situation, know that it's a trying of your faith to grow you.
Thank you, Lord.
It worketh patience. These situations, this destruction that Satan is doing, when we understand God's word, it's for our good. It's for our good. And we don't have to live in fear of it because we know that it's the trying of our faith. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 Peter.
Look for
his
Peter then. Don't go down the line.
Yes. Praise God. Yeah, Pastor, notice I tried to make it easy. Now, 1 Peter 1 and 5. 1 Peter 1 and 5. Who are kept by what? The power of God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Kept by the power of God. Not by your own strength.
That's right.
We're kept by the power of God.
Underneath, everlasting on. Yes,
sir. Not by some success book.
Amen.
Through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Right now, I know it don't seem like it, but right now in that madness you're in, this destruction that you're going through,
yes, sir.
It's one day we'll greatly rejoice that the trial of your what? Faith.
Being what?
Being much more precious.
Yes, sir.
than of gold that perish. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Real gold.
Real gold will be my maturity of my faith. That I've endured these situations. I've endured the destructions of this world. Of this world. Did you know God? Well, Satan is the God of this world. And we go through things in this world, like the world of sports, the world of car collecting, the world of fishing. It's a world. And Satan is the God of this world. That's what the scripture in Peter was talking about, that your brothers are getting persecution and approach all around the world. But why? Why seek him? Peter should have asked that. What problem you got with me, God? I mean, we hear you not ready to spoil my dinner. You might as well just tell it all to me. Why? Why me? I mean, that's a good question. I mean, he wanna. Did I do something to him? I mean, I ain't never seen him. Why me? Why does he want to sift me? Let's find that out. Okay. Let's go to John 15.
John 15. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you.
John 15.
We see that Satan is a destroyer, but God in his wisdom uses Satan and his destructive nature to grow us.
Amen.
He's not some renegade loose doing his own thing. He's under the sovereignty of God. And God is wise enough to use his nature to grow his saints.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it, brother.
But he uses it through the tools of the world, of this system. Amen. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, hate. The opposite of love is what?
Hate.
Jesus, God is love, so Satan must be
hate.
He uses hate. It comes from Satan. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And that's why the destruction, the trials, the things come against you. Do you understand that? I want you to see why you're dealing with some of the things you're dealing with.
Amen.
You're in a world that you don't belong in. And the world hates you. And the world hates you so well. He hates Christ. The world hates Christ so much that he hates you. Because you follow Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Ain't that something?
Right in you.
Ain't that something?
Oh, yes, Lord. It's true, though.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Satan hates Christ so much that simply because you follow him, he hates you.
Amen.
Do we understand that?
Amen. Yeah.
And God reminds us that remember, if it hates you, it's not really you. It's because of me.
Don't take it personal.
Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal.
That's right. Praise God.
Amen. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. We just saw that he suffered to gain obedience. So if our Lord, our master did that, don't you think you ought to? But the modern message says, I got it made. I done gave my hand in salvation. No more problems. Doesn't the modern message preach that?
That's a lie.
If Jesus suffered, we are no more important, no more greater than him. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. I'm going to show you an example of that. If I had not come and spoken unto them that they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. I'm going to tell you why. I came one day and I preached and I read their mail. And for that, they don't like me. They don't have a cloak anymore. They thought that adultery was bad. But I said that if you think upon a woman, nobody then had an excuse. You can say, I never cheated on my wife. But I came and said, if you even thought about it, that disqualified everybody. It pulled the cover off everybody. And for that, they hate me. They no longer have an excuse. He that hateth me hate my father also. If I had done among them the works. So first Jesus did the word. Then he did the works that made them hate him. Do you see that? You see that? First I said something they didn't like. Then I did something they didn't like. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, that's what he said. He said he spoke to them first and said something. They didn't like it. I pulled the cover off of them, right? Then he said, if I had not done among them the works which no other man did, that they had, that they not had sin, but now they have been both seen and hated both me and my father. That's why I hate you.
Amen.
And it's the same with us.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We can say something and they don't like you.
Right.
We can do something and they don't like you.
Yeah.
Why? Not because of you. But because of what Jesus did and said. It reminds them.
To this day.
I say this little story all the time. At a house party. At the house party, the news was on. It was something going on in society that abortion came up. And they'll do you just like they do Peter. They'll try to sift you. They'll put you on the spot. You know how they ask Peter, are you with him? And Peter said, No, I ain't with him. They'll do you like that. But see, that was part of the sifting, Pastor. That was the sifting. That was the shaking of Peter. Yeah, I'm gonna shake you enough to where you won't do this Jesus thing no more. And that was the beginning of the sifting. And now do you like that? Yes. Having fun at a party, just talking or whatever, and then all of a sudden they'll come out the blue on you. So Kelvin, what you think about abortion? You know my 15-year-old daughter pregnant. And then I'd be like, ooh, boy. Yeah, that angst come up in me, and I'm like, I got to tell these people how I feel about it. So you tell them that it's murder. You tell them that there's no real reason to have an abortion. And then they mood change. They get aggressive. Why? Because the conviction of Christ and his word comes alive. It comes alive. And they hate you for it. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not about you. It's what Christ has said about it.
Yes.
I rarely go home, but I could go home, see an old friend. Hey, man, come by. And then you come by the house. Oh, Kelvin, I ain't seen you in so long. Man, you look so good. Man, I just bought a cold bottle of Ripple. Why don't you have a drink with me? I say, yeah, man, I'll have a Coke. A Coke. I said, yeah. I mean, I'll drink a Coke. Yeah, Charles told me you a so-called preacher now. They'll come out on you like that. Your works convict them. Yeah, Charles told me you a so-called preacher now. So what you saying? I drank a little cold duck now and then. I'm going to go to hell? I said, no, all I said, I wanted a Coke. Yeah, all I said was that I want a Coke. But the works, it convicts them. That's all I said. Man, I'll sit and visit with you. Just give me a Coke. And it convicts them. They hate it. It's the truth. Do you see how the words, do you see how the works of Christ makes them hate him? And because you do the same, they hate you. And Satan uses that hatred that comes from him to destroy you. To destroy you. To destroy you. But Christ, God says, he's not going until I'm ready. But I'll use this to grow him up. I'll grow him up. They hated Jesus for no cause. Jesus healed people. And they had a problem with it. Jesus healed people and they had a problem with him healing a blind man, a lame man. Think of that. Why? They were convicted that truly in their heart they knew who he was. Jesus said, you have both seen and heard me and my Father. No more gray area. You know who I am. But yet, you hate me. You got a problem with me. Jesus fed over 5,000 folks. But they had a problem with it. Some people did. Could you see that in today's world? Yeah, girl. You heard what Mary Boy did, didn't you? He had just had some loaves of bread and he fed 5,000 people, girl. He think he all that, don't he? Didn't even serve a salad. They got a problem. Seriously, they got a problem because deep inside they see that he's somebody different. He must be God to do that. But they have a problem. And it's the sin that's been exposed by his word. And they hate you. Amen. It's the truth. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Paul of all people, wrote most of the New Testament. We're in 2 Corinthians 11. And Paul has a attitude that we should have. Because Paul understood the role of Satan. And he understood how people can get in the flesh. But in the end, he knew that it was for the glory of God.
He knew that.
2 Corinthians 10, 11, let's start at 22. Paul, for a moment, gets in his flesh and start talking about all of his accomplishments. Okay, amen. 11, 2 Corinthians 11, 22. He said, yeah. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Paul is saying that, you know, whatever they can say, I can say. I mean, if we're going to brag about all these different things, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prison, more frequent of the Jews. 5 times received I 40 stripes. This is what Satan did to try to destroy him. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often in perils of folks, waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen. With his own folks, he in danger. These are the different occasions that he knew that Satan was trying to destroy him. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. in weariness and painfulness and watching often, in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and naked. Now, that's just what he went through going through the ministry, dealing with folks. But then he talked about the ministry. Beside those things are without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I mean, it's heavy enough to care for folks, to preach, to go. I can talk about that all day. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? And I'll burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Huh? Then he talks about even going to glory, seeing paradise. He talks about having done that. Then he talks about his weakness. And in 12:10, he says this. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. For who? Christ's sake. He understands that. This destruction that Satan has for me, I use it for the good of Christ. I done read you off my resume of all the things that I went through. And if I wasn't in the power of God, I would have been long quit. Huh? I'm telling you, the first snake bite, I know I'd have been through. But he kept on. Why? Because he was in the power of God. It was in his might. Amen. We need to have that same attitude. Amen. And he says that it's for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We are dependent on the Lord. Even though we have a devourer, even though we have a destructor out there in Satan, God uses it for the empowerment and the improvement of the saints. That's why we must trust him. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this message. We thank you. We thank you that you are in control, dear Lord. We thank you that there is a devourer out there that wants to kill us, dear Lord, just because of your name's sake. But, dear Lord, we know in your wisdom, in your might, you use it for our good, dear Lord. All things work together for good, dear Lord. And we thank you that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.